For those that are visiting, I am not the senior pastor here. Wayne is the senior pastor, but every month or so I teach on a Sunday, so that's what you're going to get to hear me today instead of Pastor Wayne. Okay. You don't get whistled at. Somebody whistles at him next week. I'm going to wonder. But, yeah, I got to take my sweat. Praise God. It's red again, so. Yeah. We have mic issues, so I'm not sure. You know me, I'm loud enough that you can hear me without a mic, but it won't get taped if it's not through the system. Okay, we want to talk today about focus. Do you ever say to yourself, you know, focus, focus? Or your kids, focus, focus, you know. Well, huh? Or your husband, yeah. Praise God. When I think about focus, you know, I think that the biggest thing that I think of an example of focusing is, it used to be kids and a screen. Now it's pretty much anybody is a screen, but especially kids. I have a picture of, when the kids were little, when Jeff and Shell were little, and Wayne, it's the three of them. And what they're doing is, I have a shot of the three of them. You can't see the TV, but they're watching TV. The Muppets were on TV. And so you have this picture, I have this picture of the three of them watching TV. And talk about focus, that is a picture of people focusing. And, you know, if you have kids, you know, any kind of a screen, whether it's a video game, whether it used to be just TV, but now it's phones, you know, any kind of technology. When there's a screen involved, you know, you try to get a hold of the attention of a child when they're focused on a screen, and it is very difficult, okay? Now, you may be an adult that's the same way, you know. Why aren't we allowed to text and talk on phones and, you know, do technology while we're driving? Because generally, you're focused on the screen more. So, obviously, focus is an important part, you know, an important thing in life. But, so that's why I want to talk about it this morning. And I want to read something from the book, The Anatomy of a Miracle, by Dr. James Richards. And if you're thinking, you know, what you focus on, what you're thinking about, doesn't really matter. Well, listen to this and see if, you know, maybe we'll start changing your mind, okay? It says, the physical world at one level is made up of atoms. We have some very clear understanding today of how atoms function. Greg Braden, in his book, The Spontaneous Healing of Belief, tells us that the old model of the mechanical atom, which looked like something orbiting something else, as in a solar system, has been replaced by a new energetic model. The new model looks more like circles of energy resembling a round target instead of a solar system. Braden says the important idea here is that energy is made in part of the electrical and magnetic fields that create the thoughts of our brains and beliefs of our hearts. This is more kind of technology, but I think you can, if you listen, I think you can grasp what he's talking about here. It's common knowledge that the brain emits energy. That energy can be measured by the use of an EEG. Just because these pads are stuck on our heads when measurements are made does not mean the energy stops when it reaches our skin. When we think, our thoughts emit an electrical and magnetic energy into our bodies and into the world around us. Just the fact that electromagnetic energy is released clearly establishes the fact that we are influencing atoms. Our thoughts act on the very stuff from which all matter comes into existence and is held together. But it doesn't stop there. If it did, it would just be random energetic influence with no way to choose our quality of life, bring about change, or have any free choice. No, those thoughts are programmed. They are programmed with beliefs, expectations, and feelings. That programming determines what type of effect specific thoughts render. It determines how those thoughts will affect ourselves and our environment. Our every thought is charged with a program. Ultimately, we interact with and influence the unseen world, regardless of whether we believe we do or we believe we don't. We will, to some degree, program a world that reflects our thoughts and feelings both internally and externally. We all live in the miraculous. We all live by faith. But for those of us who choose the miraculous as a way to improve the quality of our lives and the world we live in, we must learn to be responsible and deliberate about our thoughts and feelings. We must accept the responsibility for the fact that the sum total of our thoughts and feelings are the ever-changing blueprint of our future. As such, we choose our future by choosing our thoughts. Very interesting that science is now proving, you know, what God has been saying all along. You know, it matters. You know, what does it tell us in the book of Proverbs? As a man thinketh, so is he. And so that's why we want to talk about focus this morning, because obviously what we're thinking about, what we're focusing on, is influencing our life. It's influencing our future. It's where we are today, in whatever situation we are today, the thoughts we had in the past influence where we are today. So if we don't like where we are today, then obviously we want to do something about it so we have a better future than we have for present. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Okay, so the first thing to, could be a glasses day. First thing we want to ask ourselves is what are we focusing on? You know, are we focusing on our problems? Are we focusing on everything that has gone wrong, everything that's going wrong, everything that may go wrong, you know? Is that where our focus is? You know, in the political future, you know, political situation that we are in America today, what are you focusing on? If you're focusing on the politics of today, not good, not good. So what are we focusing on? Because it's going to determine our future by what we're focusing on today. So we have to ask ourselves, what have I been focusing on, okay? And it takes effort to focus on the positive, because naturally, because of our programming, because of, you know, God programmed us in the beginning, what is it, wired for success, programmed for failure, I think the way it's been said. You know, so God programmed us, no, God wired us to be successful. But our whole lives, you know, we have heard messages contrary to that. Whether it was from our parents, whether it was our own, you know, internalization of things, whether it was from the government, whether it was from the church, you know, we received, you know, teachers, all these outside influences have been speaking things to us, and when we internalize it, that starts to it becomes what we believe, and then that's what our focus is, and even though we might fight against it, that still has been planted in there because our thoughts have gone in that direction, and so thoughts, feelings, you know, the whole process ends up with beliefs. Okay, so as I said, it takes some effort to focus on the positive. Remember some of you that have been around here a while, you know, remember when Danny Griffith was here and he taught that message on what are you thinking about when you're thinking about what you're not thinking about, what you're thinking about? Or you can say it this way, what's in your heart? Because our heart is a source of our beliefs, of our soul and our spirit is in our heart. And so what's in there, and that's tied in with what we have been focusing is determines what's in our heart presently. And so what's in our heart presently is our beliefs, and so that's going to determine our future. So, you know, we have to change our thoughts, have to change our feelings, have to change our beliefs, so we have a different future. So it is a process. It's not like, okay, presto, change, oh, everything's better, and you're always, you know, you're always going to think the right thing, you're always going to be focused on the right thing. It's a process. It took us a while to get where we are. It's going to take some effort to get, you know, to the side, the direction that we want to be in, what God has available for us, what God wants for us, okay? Worrying about your problem doesn't produce the answer. You know, that's really deep stuff, I know. But we think it does. You know, we think about, you know, our thinking, too much of the time is, I've got to think about this negative thing, whatever it may be, whether it's my health, whether it's my finances, whether it's my job, whether it's the, you know, politics, whether it's my kids, whether it's my marriage, whatever it is, I've got to think about this problem. I've got to think about it. Does it help? Does it solve anything? Does it move you to the answer? Yeah. But what do? We do it anyway. Even though, you know, I'm going to share scriptures in a little bit, and even though in our heads, if you've been born again for very long, you know this is not what I'm supposed to be doing, but we do it anyway. Because somehow we think we're smarter than God. But that's what we do. That's what we're doing. When we're focusing on the problem, when that's what, you know, we've got to figure it out. When I think that I'm the answer to my problems, I have set myself up as God. Oh, but we have. Because, you know, Jesus said in John, I believe it was, that without me, you can't do anything. You know what? But we still think we can. We still think if I just meditate on this and how bad it is, and then I think because, you know, it's bad, but it's probably going to get worse. You know, if you're one of these people that believes in Murphy's Law, or you're waiting for the other shoe to drop, I can tell you, you have some heart beliefs that you need to change. Because as children of the Most High God, we should be the most positive, most uplifting, most joyful, most, you know, people on the planet. How are we going to influence the world around us? By being different than them. You know, recently, needless to say, because of my job and everything, I'm kind of insulated from a lot of the stuff that you guys are not. You guys are exposed to the world a lot more than I am. But recently, I've been in a few situations where I've been exposed to people in the public and hearing comments full of fear. The people, you know, the people in the world are full of fear. The problem is, it's how much of the church is still full of fear. And that's wrong. You know, it's contrary to God. There's nothing good about it. But so many people, you know, I've come across too many people that they would rather be wrong. They would rather be negative. They would rather suffer than say, you know what, I'm wrong and I'm changing my mind. I'm going to repent and I'm going to change my mind. You know, I think Jim Richards makes the statement, some people would rather be dead than wrong. And that's truth there. They would rather die than admit that they're wrong. And say, well, no. Well, by the decisions we make, by our thoughts, if you leave here today and next week you're thinking the same negative things and you make no effort whatsoever to start changing your thoughts and start changing your focus, well, then you're headed towards death. It may be a slow death. It may be a quick death. But, you know, death of your dreams, death of your hopes, death of your health, death of your finances. We're headed for death when we're not choosing life. You can't have a middle ground. You're either going one way or the other. But, you know, and it's as miserable, as negative as your life has been up to now, it does not have to stay that way for another minute. Because sitting here right now, if you see yourself that this is where I'm at, this is what I have been focusing, you can repent right now. Nobody even needs to know about it but you and God. And you can say, God, help me, and ask for his grace, because his grace is his ability. I can't change my thoughts on my own. I can't change my focus on my own. But God is in me. The power of the Most High God, the power that went to hell, brought Jesus from the dead, out of hell, and back to life again, that power is inside of me. That power is inside of you. So we never say, I can't, because that's a lie. We can. 6 months from now, our lives can be so much better than they are today. How do I know that? Because mine is. Amen. I have a ways to go, but I am not. You guys that have known me a long time, I am not the same person I was 5 years ago. Praise God. Hallelujah. 5 years ago, I was a negative. I had become a very negative, life is tough, let's just suffer through kind of a thing. And that's because stuff happened. We all have stuff happen. But praise God, praise God, praise God. Calling out to him, and he brought me information. He brought me ministry, and I am not the same person. And I know part of this congregation, you could say the same thing. You're not the same person you were 5 years ago. Life is better. Life is good. That song we sing, what was that song we sing? What's that line in there? It's on top of the world. Yeah. If you sing that line or you look at that line and say, no, I'm not on top of the world. Your focus is in the wrong direction. Praise God. Hallelujah. Read this quote. The less control we feel in a situation, the more stress it creates. The more stress we experience, the less coherent and rational are our decisions. So when we focus on the wrong thing, we focus on the negative, we focus on the problems, and we start making bad decisions. You know, something I couldn't find where I had read it, but in one of the books I read, it talks about when we're under stress, there's actually a part of our the decision making, the wisdom decision making part of our brain actually shuts down. That's why, did you ever deal with anybody in fear? Or maybe you have been in fear. But you did, you know, try, as an example, dealing with a child in fear. Dealing with a child who believes there's monsters under the bed, or who believes that there's ghosts or something, you know. Experience this with grandchildren. You know, when they get in that thinking, you cannot convince them otherwise. When you're dealing with someone in fear, they can believe the most irrational thing. You know, it's somebody that's afraid of a spider or a bee or something. They go irrational, and you cannot convince them otherwise. If you just stay calm, the bee will not bother you. Or it's just a spider. No biggie. I stepped on some toes now, didn't I? But that's what this is talking about. Because somewhere in the past, something happened, and we focused on something, and we developed this fear came in there because of our focus and because of whatever it was, and that got brought into our heart, and it became part of our heart beliefs. So now there's no rational thinking with our fears. It becomes all rational thinking goes out the window because we focused on the wrong thing. Let's see here. Let's look in Matthew 7, verse 1 and 2. Because this is kind of a scriptural version of what I have been talking about. But, you know, the whatever our focus is, you know, it's going to come, we're going to continue to reap what we sow. It says in Matthew 7, verse 2, it says, "Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." So bring this in with what we're talking about here. When you focus on the negative, when we focus on the negative in any way, like I said, it's fear, it's worry, it's, you know, just meditating on the problems, we're just going to bring more of that into our lives. If you believe that the negative is, you know, if you're waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know what? The other shoe is going to drop. If you believe in Murphy's Law, whatever can go wrong is going to go wrong. It's going to happen because that's your focus. And we talked about this, you know, whatever we put out there, it's not God has nothing to do with bringing negative into our life. Satan has nothing to do with bringing negative into our life. It's us. We determine what is going to come into our lives, whether it's going to be good or bad. And a big part of that is what we've been focusing on. It's going to determine which direction our life is going to go. You know, we had, just example, you know, this week, you know, I said $700 bill for the car, totally unexpected. And I tell you what, 5 years ago would have just wiped me out. Just one more thing going wrong. Just, you know, everything goes wrong. Why does everything go wrong? You know, it's one more thing. But this time, it wasn't an effort. It just came naturally. Because what happened is, you know, I took the car in for an oil change, and the heater hadn't been working correctly, and so I said something to Jim about, you know, the heat's not working like it should. And so they went and checked, and I'm just sitting there waiting for an oil change. And he comes back out and says, "Your radiator's shot." But, it, you know, so it's, you know. But anyhow, the deal was, what came to me, first of all, was praise God. Because he said the coolant was almost down. If I had been driving down the road, especially with Wayne in the car driving down the road, he said the coolant goes out, car's done. Because it blows the head gasket and car's done. So it was, praise God, it happened in the garage, even though, you know, but that's Jehovah Jireh. You know, $700, I don't know where it's coming from, but praise God, Jehovah Jireh looks ahead and provides. Totally different. You know, you can when you have something like that happen, it can either wreck your day, wreck your week, wreck your month, or you can praise God anyhow. Why did that happen? There's one more thing. You know, we have the furnace going. Now this. Why did that happen? Well, the furnace has been working for 29 years. You know, it may need to be replaced. You know, our car is 118,000 miles on. You know, it's, you know, it's a... Yeah, just getting warmed up. Praise God. Hallelujah. What we focus on becomes bigger. Once again, very deep stuff here I'm sharing with you this morning. Well, you know, when you start thinking about, you know, say something, it can be just a little thing. You know, you ever, I know this has happened to me. You know, you wake up in the middle of the night and the furnace kicks on, or you wake up in the middle of the night and, you know, it feels cold in here. Is something wrong with the furnace? Oh no, something wrong with the furnace. Ugh. You know, and your heart gets stirred up and you're, oh man, you know. 15 minutes later, you're laying there figuring all that, what in the world am I gonna do? You know, how am I gonna take care of you? Yeah. And finally the furnace kicks on. Phew. But you're laying there, that's what I'm talking about. It does not have to be a big thing. You know, in when we lived in Crooked Street, oh Lord, with our water situation, we had, yeah, I did a lot of that back then. Yeah. Yeah. Is that water right here running? Why is the water running? There isn't. Why is the pump running? The pump shouldn't. Why is it? Why am I hearing this sound? You know, it's just the middle of the night. It's because that's, you know. But it's the little things. You know, it doesn't take much to get us going in a negative direction. Unless you have trained yourself, are training yourself to you know, stop. I'm not going to go there. So it can be a little thing. It can be a big thing. What about symptoming your body? What, boy, that shouldn't hurt there. What, you know? No, if you're young, I know, big deal. But as you get older, why is that hurt there? You know, is that, what is that? You know, I know, this, man. And then the worst thing we can do is go to the internet, go to Symptom Checker. Ever done that one? And then, you know, you're killing yourself off. You know, you just, you know, you don't have much time to live. You know, it's, what am I going to, you know, and then you're planning your funeral and the whole, yeah. You're laughing because I think you know where I'm coming from. And we think, oh, that's just the way it is. No. That's not what God says. But are we going to make an effort to do something about it? Are we going to pay attention to where we're focusing? You know, realize that. I was talking to somebody recently, and they made the statement, I don't know if I believe in God anymore. And I'm thinking, huh. And then I thought of this, and thinking about this, because, you know, I'm sure most of you, you've had some time in your life where, and this is a person who, you know, obviously believed in God, had a church background in that. But, so, you know, why don't, you know, and I could have gone that direction, but I just realized if we're looking in the wrong direction, you know, God can be right next to us. But if I'm looking in the opposite direction of God, I'm not going to see God. If I'm focusing on the negative and everything is wrong, if I'm focusing on what Satan is doing, I'll say it again, Satan is not your problem. The only problem you have is you. God is the answer. Satan's not the problem. All I have to deal with is me. My thoughts, my decisions. The only power Satan has in my life is the power that I give him. How do I give him power? By focusing in the wrong direction. By giving him credit for attacking me. If you give Satan credit for attacking you, guess what? Then you can have attacks. You know, a few years ago when I made the decision, you know, Satan is not my problem, I don't have near the problems that I used to have when I said Satan was my problem. What are we focusing on? What are you focusing on? You're going to totally change your life one way or the other, whatever you're focusing on. Do you know you can destroy a marriage or you have a good marriage by what you focus on in the other part of the couple, your husband or wife? You know, how long have we been married? 46 years, right? 46 years we've been married. Do you know, we could have been thrown it in numerous times over the years. But it's choosing to focus on the positive. You know, when you focus on the negative in your spouse, then down they go. But if you, and sometimes it's an act of your will to focus on the positive in your spouse. But, you know, when you do, you know, it's, this goes both ways. But what we focus on, you focus on the negative in your kids. What are you going to see? You're only going to see the negative. You focus on the negative in any person. What are you going to see? More of the negative. Focus. What are we focusing on? Okay. So obviously, we need to focus on the answer, not the problem. I think we've reached that conclusion that that's what we want to focus on. And I'm going to give you scripture to back up what we're supposed to be doing. And hopefully, you know, short of hitting you over the head with it, hopefully, you know, you're going to grasp a little bit more of it today. Are you going to start practicing more of changing your focus and putting your focus in the right direction? In the Amplified Bible, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it starts out with that scripture, not going to be the whole scripture, but it starts out by, it says, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus. And it takes effort. You know, we don't do works, but we have to put in effort. If we want our lives differently, we need to put in effort to make changes. We need to put in effort to change our thoughts, to change our beliefs. Amen? Let's see, 2 Corinthians 4:18. Very familiar scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Well, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It tells us right here, don't look at the problems. Don't look at what's going wrong in your life. Don't look at what's going wrong in the country. If you have to, you know what? Don't watch the news. Don't check out the internet. Whatever you need to do to keep your focus in the right direction, you are responsible to do it. No one else is going to do it for you. It's no one else's fault. Whatever you focus on, it's your responsibility, not anybody else's. Praise God. Look at the things. We don't look at the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen. Look at what God says. If you don't have a manifestation, if you have sickness in your body and you need healing, well, focus on the answer. Don't, you know, what's that DVD series we watch? Gather evidence. That's part of what this is, gathering evidence to go, you know, to focus in the right direction. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. And these scriptures are ones you've heard over and over and over and over and over again. The thing is, we have to start applying them. Just because we know a bunch of what the Word says does not mean it will make any difference whatsoever in our lives. The only word that makes a difference in our lives is the word that we apply. If you want your life different, start applying the word. You know, God is pretty smart. Did you realize that? He knows more than we do. And now, you know, science is proving what he's been saying all along. You know what? God's smart. So what does it say in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5? It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I think we need to use this one for our monthly memory verse along the way. It's long, but it's easy to remember. Casting down imagination. Imagination, what are you thinking about? If you're using your imagination, you have been thinking about something for a while. It's not just a passing thought. And so when we catch ourselves focusing, but you know, by, because that's what it is, using our imagination, we're focusing on the wrong thing. And we're, you know, so the example I gave, you know, you see yourself, you know, that you have this pain, and then, okay, I'm going to go to the hospital, and then they're going to do this, and then I'm going to do. You know, as you get older, those things happen very quickly. You can have these mini, you know, videos in your head. I don't know what age it starts happening more, but generally with little kids, I don't know, maybe it does when you're little too. But we focus on the wrong thing. And we don't just, okay, it's a passing thought. No, I'm not going to think about that. Move on. Okay, what does the Word of God say about me? What does God say? When things go wrong, what does God say? Jehovah Jireh. You know, he is my healer. You know, he is my deliverer. You know, he is my peace. He is my joy. He is my righteousness. God, I have your grace. I have your wisdom. Or do we think, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Just one more thing. You know, and then learning not to take on, especially family, learning not to take on family problems, learning not to take on your kids' problems. your whatever it may be, your parents' problems. You know, it's not my problem. I cannot do anything about it. If I could do anything about it, I would already have done it. The only way I can help whoever it may be is focusing on God, because God has all the answers. And when I focus on God, He will either give me the answer or He will keep me in peace so I can minister the way I'm supposed to minister. Focusing on the answer. You know, dealing with every thought. And it's a process. You know, when you have a negative thought, it's not like just like that, okay, I've been a totally negative person. I've focused on the problem. No, it takes effort to turn around and go in the other direction. It takes some time, you know, for you to catch yourself. I'm going in the wrong direction again. But every time we catch ourselves, we're making progress. And we're retraining our thoughts. You know, I learned many, many years ago when there were things that happened in my life, and I learned a long time ago to make the decision, I am not going there. I am not going to go in that direction in my thought life. I am just not going there. And you have to do that. You may feel like, you know, I have to think about this. You know, this is just, you know, this is my kid. I have to think about this problem. I have to try and work it out. You know, it's I've got to do something. I've got to do something. As I said, if you could, you would have already. If you're at a point you don't know what to do, go to God. Go to the answer. Amen. It's not helping by you thinking about the problem. You're not going to solve anything. Amen. Go to the answer, and then He can tell you what to do. You know? That's a thought. Amen. Amen. Go to the guy who has all wisdom, all knowledge, who knows the beginning from the end. Spend some time just sitting before Him, sitting in His presence, experiencing His love, experiencing His peace, experiencing His joy. And then get up and walk away. And you may not have the answer at that point, but you're sure going to feel a whole lot better. We are called to live in righteousness, peace, and joy. If you're not living in peace, you screwed up. You need to go repent and get back to the focusing on the answer. If you're not living in joy, you screwed up. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't bring any judgment or condemnation. Just say, God, I screwed up. I repent. I'm changing my mind. I'm going the direction you're going. You're saying, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I have your joy. I have your joy. Once again, spending time with Him, experiencing what it would be like to be full of joy. And then you get up, life's totally different. And it's a whole lot more fun living this way. Tell you what, if you have digestive, you want to talk?
No problem. Roll your eyes at me. I've kind of shared this before, but you know, it keeps coming back to me. You know, I was starting to get this maybe a couple years ago, and kind of slowly getting what she's talking about. And then, you know, just over a year ago is when my ex left and kind of instantly put me into this place that I'd never been before in a negative way. And I was just like in this, I felt like a constant panic attack. And I was so overwhelmed and I was so desperate that I knew God was going to be the only way that I could get through. And I did what she's talking about. And there were days that it was constant where my mind was saying, you know, how are you going to get through this? What are you going to do financially? You know, you're alone now. Are you ever going to be together with someone else again? You know, all those, you know, people are going to judge you. What are people going to think? All these thoughts constantly. And you know, I've said, I made a decision right from the beginning. This is not going to define me. This is not going to be who I am. But it wasn't just a one-time thing and, okay, I got this all together. It was constant. It was my mind. Wow. It's good up here. My mind kept saying this, and I said, nope, this is what God says about me. My mind said, you know, how are you going to get through this? And God said, grace. Or I, you know, focused on grace. I focused on God, my provider, God who loves me and who sees me for who I am and who He created me to be. It doesn't matter what's happening to me. And God, my peace, and God, my joy. And like I said, it was just constant, just... But it got easier as I kept doing it and I kept fighting for it. It was so hard sometimes, But it just kept getting easier and easier. And I'd get to the point where I'd catch myself sooner. And then when I did catch myself, it was just, oh, I'm getting this. And it was just, and my main point being, I am on the other side of it. I'm so thankful. Not thankful that it happened, but just being on the other side of it, you can just be so thankful for where you are and for what it did for me, that it challenged me and that I am where I am now. But what I would say to you is, don't wait until something really horrible, crappy happens to do this stuff. Because that's what most of us do. We wait until something so horrible happens, we're so desperate, we don't know what else to do, we go to God. So don't wait. Just start somewhere. It's just being aware. It's just catching yourself. And every time you catch yourself, oh, no, we're not going there. And don't allow any guilt or condemnation or shame or any of that. Those are all lies. We know where those come from. So just every time you catch yourself, no, this is what the truth is. This is what God says about me. This is a lie. We're not going there. This is the truth. And don't wait.
Should just let her preach, huh?
Praise God. Another quote, we are meditating anytime we ponder anything to the degree that we create corresponding emotions, thereby framing up the end result. So in other words, anytime we're thinking about something, like Shell said, you know, panic attacks, it may show up as digestive issues. It may show up as anxiety. Anytime you're experiencing that you've been focusing in the wrong direction. You know, most of digestive issues are caused by stress. If you're in that situation, you're having any kind of digestive issues, it's an indication you're focusing in the wrong direction. Because it's medically and everything, the digestive system is like the second brain, and it's that's where big things shows up. Also, you know, and this isn't any judgment. It's just, okay, find out where I'm at. You know, you can't make any progress until you're honest with yourself and say, this is where I am. It's not any judgment. It's not condemnation. You know, God's not, you know, on your case. I'm not on your case. You know, we're in this together. We're making progress. My heart desire is for you guys to be successful and happy and full of joy and peace and health all the time. That's my whole purpose for teaching. But praise God, when we're dealing with physical stuff, you know, if you have dealing with back problems, once again, a lot of back problems is caused by negative emotions. It's, you know, it's one of some of these things is scientifically proven. It's not like, you know, hocus pocus or, you know, that kind of stuff. Oh, okay. Go to stop. Boy, that would really be something if he came out. For those of you that don't know, that's my grandson, so, okay. Okay, so what are you thinking about? What are you pondering? You know, you don't have to get in this, you know, this yoga pose and go, to meditate. We're meditating on a regular basis. Anytime we're thinking about something, anytime we're using our imagination, we're meditating. But what are we meditating on? Are we focusing on the positive, or are we focusing on the negative? What's going on? And it's, once again, it's my choice. No one can make you think anything. No one can make you believe anything. No one can make you feel anything. It's my choice. It's your choice. But whatever's negative in our life, praise God, hallelujah, we can turn it around to the positive, because God lives within us. Amen. Another scripture. Wayne and I were talking about this, and it's surprisingly, I don't know which one of us thought of this one, but this is a good scripture. Joshua chapter 6, verse 2. Very short scripture. Just says, Joshua chapter 6, verse 2. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. The word I want you to focus on is see. See. Now, here's Jericho. You read the story about Jericho, and it says that the walls were, 6 feet wide or something like that. And it says something about, it starts about, you know, it's all shut up. The walls are all, the city was all shut up or something along that line. If you look at your Bible, you can see what I'm trying to say, but not doing it well. But God said to Joshua, see what I'm saying. See what I'm going to give you. See what's available for me. What are you going to focus on? Are you going to focus on what God has available to you? Are you going to focus on what Jesus had paid the price for and we should be experiencing? Or are you going to focus on the negative? You're going to focus on, you know, I don't feel like doing that. I don't care, you know. I'm just going to think about what I want to think about. Well, go for it. Go for it. The sad thing to say is, you know, years down the road, when you're sick and you want prayer, people can pray for you. But whether you get healed or not is very questionable. You know, a lot of people don't get healed because they don't deal with this stuff. It's not up to God whether you get healed. It's up to you. It's not up to God whether you prosper. It's up to you. It's not up to God whether you're in peace and joy. It's up to you. So, we make the choice. Okay, final scripture. Once again, one you've heard all the time. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think about these things. Focus on these things. If it's of God, if it's possible, then focus on that.